This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, February 6th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, AM 580's Tom Rogers talks to the director of the American Booksellers Association about the problems now faced by small independent bookstores. One of them in this region, Pages for All Ages in Savoy, shut its doors for good this week. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. Champaign County may have found a way to avoid layoffs due to budget troubles, but it may involve unpaid time off for employees. In 2 weeks, the county board will be asked to approve furlough days as part of a plan to cut a projected $1.7 million deficit, mainly due to lower tax revenue. As the proposal stands after the Finance Committee passed it last night, all employees except for elected officials would have to take 7 furlough days by the end of the fiscal year. That doesn't sit well with AFSCME local president Nora Stewart, who blamed the county board for the deficit.
But you want the little people to pay for these mistakes, you know, and I think it's totally unfair. You only give us 2 choices, take days off or face losing your job.
But others who spoke at the meeting preferred furloughs to the alternative, layoffs. County co-administrator Deb Busey says the 7 days off would not quite counter the raises most county employees received this year.
Even with the furloughs, their equivalent salary for every employee is still 0.875% better than it was last year. It seemed to be a good alternative to eliminate the need to actually place people out of work entirely.
County Board President Pius Weibel and Treasurer Dan Walsh both offered to cut their pay by the amount employees would be asked to give back. Busey says the law keeps the county from extending the same furloughs to elected officials. Danville's mayor says the city is fortunate it didn't have to cut any services outright when eliminating 25 job positions this week. Scott Eisenhower says those cuts, mostly in fire police and public works, were cut with the next few years in mind and with hopes the economy either remains stagnant or rebounds. The city lost about $40,000 in revenue over last year, but Eisenhower says the biggest concern is what taxpayers may have to contribute to pensions over that time. Illinois' Municipal Retirement Fund, which provides benefits to current and retired municipal employees, lost more than $6 billion last year. Danville levies taxes for IMRF, as well as police and fire pensions. Eisenhower says he's worried about what communities like his will be asked to dole out over time.
It seems as though everything we say we have to couch with the follow-up statement, which is, let's hope 2009 isn't as bad. Because if it is, now whatever decisions are made in regards to pensions will be compounded significantly by another bad year of investments.
Eisenhower says he's also concerned about how state revenues and sales and corporate taxes will fit into Danville's financial picture. The job cuts and consolidating of services in areas like public development save the city about $1.2 million. Illinois' governor says the state's residents will have to sacrifice to fill the budget deficit. Pat Quinn says government costs will need to be trimmed. He won't say yet if he'll ask lawmakers for a sales or income tax hike, but Quinn yesterday opened the door to reforming the state's tax code.
I think what we have to do is have a fair tax system in Illinois. We should look at that, and if we can enact reforms, we will do so, especially now in hard times where people are really suffering.
Quinn says he'll try hard to make the tax system more progressive, a change he supported in the past. Illinois currently has a so-called flat tax set at 3% of a resident's income. Quinn says he'll unveil his plan in a budget speech next month. The state's comptroller estimates Illinois currently faces an estimated $9 billion budget deficit over the next 2 years. Governor Pat Quinn has made his first cabinet-level appointment. He's picked Mark Miller to head Illinois' Department of Natural Resources. Miller, a Champaign native, is the third director of the agency in the past month. Sean Crawford has more.
Miller takes over Natural Resources, facing limited staff and funding. He says it will take time to rebuild the agency, and he adds budget limitations will be an obstacle.
This will be a challenge at our agency. It is important that we have enough support for frontline staff. However, we do need to ascertain where we're at, work with the governor's office, and make sure that we have a firm basis to move forward with that.
Miller has a background in conservation, including working on those issues as part of Quinn's lieutenant governor's staff. He still needs Senate confirmation. Miller replaces Kurt Granberg, a former state lawmaker who held the natural resources job for about 2 weeks. Granberg was named in the waning days of the Blagojevich administration and is in line for a huge pension increase, despite his limited tenure at the agency. Governor Quinn says he hopes Granberg is denied the pension boost, calling it not in order. When asked about other agency directors, Quinn won't say if more changes could be coming. I'm Sean Crawford.
Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan has blasted former Governor Rod Blagojevich for imposing a culture of secrecy on state agencies under his control and hampering the release of public records. Madigan told the Illinois Reform Commission that the Blagojevich administration repeatedly refused to release information that the public and press were legally entitled to under the state's Freedom of Information Act. The commission was created by new Governor Pat Quinn to come up with ways to clean up Illinois government in the wake of the Blagojevich scandal. Blagojevich was removed from office last week after being impeached following his arrest on federal corruption charges. Madigan has given Quinn suggestions for how to increase compliance with the law. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Foster. Many people in the Champaign-Urbana area had a soft spot for Pages for All Ages, a bookstore that welcomed local readers for more than 20 years to its single store, first in Champaign, then in Savoy. Pages abruptly closed its doors for good this week, citing the economy. It's not been an easy go for independent book retailers over the last few years, especially as Amazon and other internet outlets joined Borders and Barnes & Noble as major competitors. The director of the American Booksellers Association, Ave and Mark Domnitz, says Pages fell by the wayside as the group's other members are digging in their heels. He spoke to AM 580's Tom Rogers.
Our members are comprised almost totally of independent storefront retailers.
And obviously, over the past couple of decades at least, they've had stiff competition from larger bookstore chains. I would assume that your membership now is a fairly hardy breed.
I think that you're correct. There has been significant competition in the form of the corporate stores, the big box retailers that we all know their names. And then in the last several years, with the onset of very strong internet booksellers, there has been significant fall off. But the people that have left have figured out what are the business strategies that will do well for them in the marketplace.
What are some of those ideas that booksellers have gotten onto in the last few years that have kept them going in this new business climate?
I think that the successful independent bookstore of today is one that very, very strongly ties themselves to their local community. The whole idea of shop local, independence, local sustainable economies, and the green movement have provided a nexus for a strategy that works in the marketplace.
Yet, in some cases, stores that have participated in that, like Pages, are starting to go by the wayside. What are the new challenges, and how are the bookstores that are still around able to work in this more difficult economic picture?
Well, it's actually quite a testament to the people that are left. As you know, this is not isolated to the book industry. That business in general, small business more pointedly, and small independent business most of all, are under tremendous stress in this economy. This recession is a retail credit-based recession and has been devastating to all business, no less so for small independent business. This business environment, this past holiday season, has been terrible for any segment of retailing.
You mentioned, obviously, the retail, the front end, but you also mentioned that there are problems that we may not see with independent booksellers and how they've been able to do business in the past with credit and that sort of thing. What kinds of things are they running into with their banks and their other financial dealings?
Credit has dried up. It is very difficult to get financing of any kind. Now, in a retail business where you depend on the flow of inventory, cutting off of credit, and again, this is not limited to independents or small retailers. General Motors ran out of money. The credit crunch is quite devastating to any kind of retailing.
How are booksellers dealing now compared to the big box chains? Is the pain going equally through the entire industry, or are you seeing the smaller booksellers suffering even more than the bigger chains?
No, I don't want to say that independents are suffering more than other people. Everybody is suffering, and it's those businesses that figure out a strategy that works that are the ones that are going to be surviving. And we really believe that the the independence, flexibility, and ability to tie themselves very, very, very closely to the institutions of their local community and to be identified as a part of a community, as a word, has great resonance with consumers right now. People are feeling isolated and alone, and anything that can bring them together with a sense of community is going to fare fairly well. And bookstores are the perfect example of businesses that do that.
Avon Mark Domnitz heads the American Booksellers Association, which lost a member this week when Pages for All Ages closed its doors in Savoy. He talked with AM 580's Tom Rogers. Forecast for the area today, mostly sunny, the high around 45 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, patchy drizzle and fog after midnight, the low around 38, mostly cloudy tomorrow. Patchy drizzle and fog in the morning, the high around 52, mostly cloudy Saturday evening, a chance of light rain showers in the evening, the low around 35, partly sunny Sunday, the high around 42, mostly cloudy Sunday night, the low around 35. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, February 6th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.